You know that wellness goal you set at the start of the year? It's not too late to stick with it and make your future self proud, especially with the all-in-one nutrition shake from Ka'Chava. With 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and more. No fillers, no nonsense, just the highest quality ingredients. Stick with your wellness goals. Go to Ka'Chava.com and use code NEWS for 15% off. That's K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, code NEWS.
You're starting to enjoy it.
No, I don't enjoy it.
You don't enjoy it?
No.
Of course you enjoy
it's
it.
It's a stupid tournament. There are some cases of like match fixing that are definitely true at the top level.
Mm. What's the strategy behind choosing to play so much classical chess before the candidates? Boom, we're rolling. All right, Fabi. Welcome back, everybody, to another C-Squared podcast episode. We are together in St. Louis. You're becoming somewhat of a Title Tuesday warrior nowadays. I think you are one of the very few that actually won a Title Tuesday, and on the same day, you also played... Oh, no. It was on the same week. You won a couple of Thursdays.
Mini Thursdays.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
I mean, I don't play them too often.
Yeah.
I think like the first kind of month that the Title Tuesday stuff had changed, I didn't play maybe a single time. But then I found out that maybe I can like qualify for the Esports World Cup, and then be forced to choose. two events.
So you're changing your tune a little bit on Title Tuesday, yeah? You're starting to enjoy it.
No, I don't enjoy it.
You don't enjoy it?
No. It's
come on, of course you enjoy
it's
it.
It's a stupid tournament. But but if there's a small goal to work towards, I'll go towards that goal.
I like it. How do you like the Proctor so far?
It's incredibly laggy.
It is laggy. It's laggy.
Mm. Yeah, but it's gotten better.
Yeah.
And I have to admit they probably did. It probably does help a lot with cheating.
Yeah,
I used to be unable to get past the first game in Title Tuesday. It was just impossible. I would score like my under 50%.
Yeah,
against players, you know, maybe close to 2000 level. Now I usually get past it without any exception. So we've made some progress. Chess.com. You're able to stop the 2000s and 1800s.
It was rough, yeah. The
congratulations.
First time. I might actually have to install the Proctor on my computer and play moving forward.
It depends. Like if it's on desktop, then my desktop manages the Proctor fine without lag. But on laptop, it's serious. And if you have bad internet, like as a travel consideration for chess players, it's a normal thing to consider, right? You might be playing, be on the road, playing a tournament. Sometimes people play a tournament, and then they'll go and play this online stuff after their game. Then it can be a really serious issue. Like I was talking to Nihal, he was saying that it's for him it's nearly unplayable because of lag and just.
Oh, I didn't see you there. You might be wondering, what am I doing here? Well, I'm getting my reps in.
You know, one of the most common questions I get is, how do you actually learn a new opening? Honestly, the best way, hands down, is by using chessreps.com. They've got these super fun, interactive opening courses that actually work. This isn't one of those chess courses you watch once and forget. These are fully interactive courses. You're not passively listening. You're actively playing the moves, getting quizzed on variations, and building that crucial muscle memory. It feels more like a game than studying. Hundreds of thousands of players have already used chessreps.com to break through plateaus and hit their highest ever ELO. And here's the cool part. They actually want you to see how powerful this is for yourself. Right now, you can take their entire Vienna Gambit and Stafford Gambit courses completely free. You don't even have to sign up. Just head over to chessreps.com, and start learning. Right now, they have 25 courses for you, and they release a new one every single week. Seriously, this is the best way to learn openings. Go try it out at chessreps.com.
I don't know, maybe he's been able to solve that issue, but we spoke pretty recently about it. But it got better. I mean, at the start of it, it was just unplayable.
Yeah.
I couldn't move the pieces. It was like each move would take an extra 3 seconds.
Yeah.
So, but now it's manageable. It's still pretty laggy though.
Yeah. No. Definitely, I'm seeing some improvement as well. So I'm happy to see that. You mentioned EWC. How are you doing so far in the qualification rankings?
I don't know. It's such a mess of a system. I mean, it's so complicated because it incorporates everything. All the title Tuesdays, the speeches championship, then the global championship. It will count that as well. So I don't know. But I'm pretty high on the list, I guess.
Yeah.
Which could probably change massively because then I would have to check the points for like the global championship and so on, and it's. It's a lot of different tournaments with different points and all thrown together into one big mess of a system.
Look, it's a mess, but it happens every week. I feel this is one thing that really helps chess kind of establish a presence on a weekly basis because, you know, chess fans usually just go out and do their own thing and not care too much about chess in between big tournaments. But now they have something to care about. And I feel that definitely helps maintaining holding on to
it's
the
an entertaining
audience.
Thing. I mean, if I were a chess, I mean, I am a chess fan, but if I were purely just watching chess, then yeah, I would enjoy
something nice to
enjoy
do on
tuning
a
in. Yeah, in the morning or evening, depending on your time zone. But just a quick, you know, 1.5 hour something. I don't really think we need more events. I mean, we have so many events. It's not like you. If you are a chess fan, then you have plenty to watch. Yeah. Like, I think tomorrow Prague Masters starts. Tomorrow St. Louis Masters starts. I'm playing that one. Aeroflot is starting. I saw that Faustino is playing that.
Yeah.
To try to get his last GM norm, to try to break the GM record title, GM title record. And then there's American Cup, and then there's obviously candidates, right? So there's plenty to watch, but Title Tuesday is a fun in-between one.
Title Tuesday qualification to EWC. Let's start with that. Why don't we do that? We had some issues with EWC and the Grand Chess Tour, sort of overlapping in terms of schedule. That was a huge problem. And the GCT is not going to move its schedule. They announced it first, and they've been holding on this tournament in August. I think it's overlapping with the Singapore Cup or the Grand Finals. I don't remember exactly which one. But they've been very, very consistently having this tournament in August. They're not moving it. EWC, it's not only chess is the problem, right? So the question is, how much do they care? Have you heard any updates on this, any improvements, any communication between the two parties?
Well, it's... I mean, what you said is definitely correct, that the Grand Chess Tour is locked into their schedule, and I think they gave enough notice, and we talked about that. So the question is, will the EWC, are they able to move? Will they be willing to move? Or do they care enough to move? That's, I mean, still, I think there's a chance, and I hope so, because otherwise the Esports World Cup will lose a lot of players.
Mm-hmm.
So it will lose most of the best players in the world, in fact. That's the truth.
Do you know for sure that that's going to be the choice of some top players? I know you will choose the Grand Chess Tour.
I don't know for sure. You know, I can't speak to everyone's state of mind.
So I guess it's just speculation for the moment.
But no, it's a very, very educated guess.
Okay.
let's just say that. I can't speak to everyone.
Yeah.
But the vast majority or just everyone will choose the Grand Chess Tour. That's the truth. And there are a few reasons for that. One is that it's already a prior commitment, and in general, it's good to honor your contracts. And the other thing is that there's just more money in the Grand Chess Tour.
Mm.
People can check the prize fund, but there's just more money there, significantly more. is because it's many different events.
It's a tour.
Yeah. It's a tour, yeah. And even the final alone is, if you get to the final, like there's going to be a final four, right? Then if you get to that final four, basically the prizes are very similar to the Esports World Cup. Like the first prize, I think, is 150 mm-hmm. compared to 200. Mm-hmm. But it's a smaller field, so you have a better chance.
You know that goal you set at the start of the year? You can still do it, whether you're committed to a thru-hike with friends, lifting heavier, or simply walking more. It's not too late to stick with it and make your future self proud, especially with the all-in-one nutrition shake from Ka'Chava. Because quality nutrition shouldn't be complicated. Just 2 scoops of Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your back stock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, simplify your progress with just 2 scoops of the highest quality ingredients. Stick with your wellness goals. Go to Ka'Chava.com and use code NEWS for 15% off. That's Ka'Chava.com and use code NEWS. K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, code NEWS.
You also don't have Magnus in the field.
Yeah, you also... So probably. I mean, obviously, yeah, that's the... we can be objective and say that, yeah, if you don't have Magnus in the field, it's going to raise everyone's chances. So, yeah, I won't say who have said that some other people will definitely choose some certain tournament, and I think that that's definitely not true.
So do you think that if the top players move away from the EWC and then you get, let's say, the 2700s next in line into the EWC, do you think that's going to be a detriment generally of chess?
Well, of chess, no. I mean, it just weakens their event. Mm. Like, there's nothing... The thing is that it's not that it's an invitational, the Esports World Cup. It's a pure qualification where nobody's really favored to qualify. You can argue that the players who are invited to the Speechless Championship, they're favored to qualify because they get some bonus points. But besides that, it's a very democratic process. Mm-hmm. Basically, anyone who has the time to play online has an equal shot. Mm-hmm. So it's good for different players to have different opportunities, but everyone has an opportunity in this event. Everyone, if they're good enough, if they perform well enough, will qualify. Mm-hmm. That's just how it is. So this is not about giving players more chances, right? That's the first thing. Now, if you have the tournament and it's going to be, for example, Magnus and Hikaru, who I think have stated... Well, actually, I'm not entirely sure I shouldn't say that. I think Hikaru has stated that he would choose Esports World Cup. I just assume Magnus would, but...
Yeah, he would. He's not playing in the GST, so...
Yeah,
He would.
So, besides that... And then you have a bunch of very strong Grandmasters, but perhaps not entirely top players. I mean, it'll still be a very interesting event. But it will miss out on the fact that you don't have some other top players who don't really have the choice, right? They have to choose another event that they're already locked into. That detracts from the Esports World Cup. Mm-hmm. Whatever anyone says, it does.
Yeah.
Now, does it detract from the Grand Chess Tour? Actually, yeah, not really.
Probably not.
Because they're going to have the same field.
Yeah.
Right, so it's only Esports World Cup that's hurting themselves. Now the question is, do they care? Because maybe they just don't care about mm-hmm. about the event. They just want to put on an event that is palatable for the public.
I do feel like they care, just for the simple fact that I think chess was one of the highest viewing games in the last edition. I think it was number 4, number 5. Hopefully, I'm not super far off from that, but I think it was quite well received.
Sure, I mean, it was a well-watched event, the final between Magnus and Ali Reza.
Yeah.
And you might have one of those players not playing, one of the last year's finalists.
I don't know.
Does that seem like a good, that you have, I'm not saying that, I don't know what Ali Reza would choose if he were forced mm-hmm. to choose, but is it a good thing that you have a finalist forced to choose and perhaps making the choice not to play the event? don't know, doesn't sound great to me.
No, definitely an interesting episode developing in that regard.
But I will just add that there is a chance, I think, that the Esports World Cup will... Mm-hmm. I think there is a chance. I don't know what the odds are. Maybe not super high, but I do think that there might be some room for maneuvering.
And that's an educated guess as well.
Somewhat educated guess.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. Yeah, hopefully we'll get some clarification on that. But next in line, now we're in St. Louis. We just finished our second camp for the candidates and perhaps the last camp before the candidates. How are you feeling shape-wise? And are you happy with the work so far?
You asked me this last time.
Yes, I know.
I'm happy to work.
Yes.
And looking forward to the candidates.
You're playing two events between now and the candidates. St. Louis Masters starts tomorrow, immediately after the American Cup. And then, you know, a little break before the candidates. But if you look at it, it is a very packed schedule leading up to this candidates. Mm-hmm. Maybe the most packed out of all the candidates in terms of playing classical chess.
Sure. I have a two-week break from my last tournament.
Yeah.
Perhaps more, because I can't assume that I'll get to the final of the American Cup as a knockout, right? I could actually get knocked out before.
Right.
But if it goes the full length, then I'll have like a two-week break from game to game, which is plenty, I think. I mean, 2 weeks is a lot.
What's the strategy behind that, behind choosing to play so much classical chess before the candidates?
The thing is, classical chess in general is not so popular these days in some ways. Mm-hmm. So from the end of the US Championship in October, which is a long time ago, I didn't play any classical chess. I played many events. I mean, I played the Clutch Chess. I played the Global Chess League mm-hmm. in India and Mumbai. I played the World Rapid Blitz Championship. I played freestyle, and I also did play two Bundesliga games, which was, just the idea was to kind of reintegrate a little bit into classical chess, because I'm playing, I played freestyle in South Africa and in Germany. So I played two freestyle events, which is also not classical time control. So I played some Bundesliga just to reintegrate a little bit, feel how it is to actually mm-hmm. sit down and have an hour and a half or 2 hours for the game, and to have to kind of spend time on your decisions and manage your time a bit. And then the idea is just to get a bit more classical feeling. Now, the St. Louis Masters, I didn't know the field. It ended up not being as strong as last year. Mm. Last time it was, I was playing and a number of 2,700 or close to 2,700 players. Grigori was playing, mm-hmm. Sam Sevian, Sam Shanklin, Ray Robson, and some other very strong players. Now it's not as strong of a field, but still it's good practice. I mean, everyone, I'll be playing Grandmasters from start to finish, basically. So I'm playing strong players, just not quite as strong as last time. And then the American Cup is a mixed event, because it's some classical, some blitz, some rapid, depending on. I mean, you could also play all classical if you mm-hmm. win if you win every match in classical. You could play a lot of rapid if you go to elimination bracket, and so on and so forth. But it's a mixed time control event.
Yeah, that should be a fun one tomorrow. Let's stick with that one for just a second. St. Louis Masters, this is an open tournament. Players of your caliber generally don't go into open tournaments mm-hmm. for the simple fact that it's very easy to start losing rating if you do poorly, even if you make draws against 26-50s, which is, it's not easy to beat them, first of all.
No, it's not at all.
So
not even easy to be 2550s.
Of course. Nowadays, everybody knows theory. Everybody's going to be very well prepared. What's the mentality going into this one?
Well, I don't really
You
think,
won it. By the way, really, last year, you lost the last round. That was a bit painful.
Yeah, I shared first with
you did share
with Danchenko.
Yeah.
Losing the last round. Just wasn't thinking very clearly.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, like, I am white, I should win. And then, of course, this was... I should have been thinking, okay, just make a draw, you clinch first place, and then also you kind of clinch the FIDE circuit. Mm-hmm. what is going on in my head that I decided to play? And also, I was, like, super sick at the time, and, mm-hmm. like, what was I thinking? But, there's a risk, although I think there's a risk in all tournaments, and, okay, if you're not willing to risk, then what are you doing?
I like it. And yeah, so this one, we're not going to have a broadcast, unfortunately, this year.
Wait, I think isn't there?
No, I don't think there's a broadcast.
Except that Yasser...
That's going to be live at the club. Oh, so okay. They're going to be doing commentary directly at the club. If you're in St. Louis, obviously, go check it out. But we're not going to have an official broadcast for this one, which is, you know, unfortunate, given that I think these type of open events definitely have an audience behind them. And for me, as a chess fan as well, they're very fun to watch.
Yeah, it's a bit sad they're not doing... But I understand.
It's that transition into the new club, the transition into a new studio. I do think that they will be announcing a new studio as well very soon. I hope I'm not giving out too much. But the thing is, American Cup, that's going to be the first event that's going to be broadcast. Should be a fun one. Are you happy? You already kind of returned for Rapid and Blitz to the club, but now you're playing at the new club, Classical Chess, after a long time. Are you excited about that?
I think the American Cup will be a fun event.
Yeah.
I mean, matches, mini matches.
That's always a fun one.
Yeah, that's a fun format.
You know that goal you set at the start of the year? You can still do it. Whether you're committed to a through hike with friends, lifting heavier, or simply walking more, it's not too late to stick with it and make your future self proud. Especially with the all-in-one nutrition shake from Ka'Chava. Because quality nutrition shouldn't be complicated. Just 2 scoops of Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your backstock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, simplify your progress with just 2 scoops of the highest quality ingredients. Stick with your wellness goals. Go to Ka'Chava.com and use code NEWS for 15% off. That's Ka'Chava.com and use code NEWS. Ka'Chava.com, code NEWS.
2 chances, so players who lose a match, they still have a chance. I think it's good. You know, you can have an accident, but then you have a chance to fight back.
Yeah.
It's even harder to win through the lower bracket than through the higher bracket, but that's a good system, I think, to give everyone a chance, a second chance. I'll play Mishra, I believe, in the first round.
Who are the new boys in the American Cup? Because I think we're missing...
Is anyone new?
Well, we're missing Wonder. Grigory.
A Wonder is new.
And we're missing Sam Shanklin.
Yeah, but everyone else has played before.
Mishra, is Andy playing?
Andy's not playing.
Andy's not playing. Okay, Andy didn't make it. So Mishra probably got the invitation before Andy.
I think they probably did that by higher rating. Yeah. I think now, like, it's
Andy's a bit higher rating.
Neck and neck. Yeah, maybe Andy's a bit higher after Vikenze.
A Wonder is new. 2715 or something along those lines. Yeah. Definitely maintaining over 2700. And he's super young, just out of college. He still is right now in college. We'll see if he's going to be next year. But he's a guy that has been combining his college career, his academics career. He finished UChicago and now he's at Webster with playing and actually improving in chess, which is quite impressive. He's a very interesting type of player. We've been chatting with Levon a little bit about him, and he considers him very similar to Hikaru in some respects. Do you see him similar to Hikaru as well? The typical, you know, American player?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess in some ways. But yeah. Okay, Hikaru when he was young is such a different player from Hikaru today.
Yeah.
Clearly. Hikaru when he was young was like a very very fighting. You could say sometimes a bit careless, but very, very gifted, very dangerous. A bit raw. Now, of course, he's in his late 30s, and he's been at the top level since like 2010, 11. Yeah, so he's obviously a very different player from his young days. I don't know. I don't have enough experience against him to say. I mean, I think he's a very good player, very talented. But I've played him so few times, like here and there, U.S. Championship, and very often. With the white pieces, he does shut the game down, which I don't mind if I'm playing black against him. But it does mean that there's not much content in the game, and I can't really get much of a feeling for what he's good or not good at. So, hard to say. I mean, I think it'll be interesting to see his match against... He's going to play a top player. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see that match. I think he's playing Levon, and...
He's playing Levon in the first round. Yeah.
And he did beat him in one US Championship, from what I remember. So I don't know, maybe his score... Maybe it's in his favor currently. Maybe Levon has also won. They also, I'm sure, haven't played very much. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I played a Wonder in like 2019 first time, maybe, when he was very young, US Championship. Then obviously COVID years, not at all. And then two times in US Championship recently, very few games.
And their styles are somewhat well matched, I feel, and somewhat similar as well. You're playing Mishra. You've faced him before. Did you face him last year as well?
No, last year I played Ray in the first round.
Ray in the first round.
And Hikaru played Mishra.
Right. Oh, I remember that match.
Yeah, it was a close match.
Mishra was very close to eliminating
Mishra had that one. They drew the classical games, barely. I mean, Hikaru was winning both games, but they drew the classical games. And then he won a blitz game, and then he was winning
completely winning.
Second blitz game, and he just needed a draw, and somehow Hikaru tricked him and took the match. So it's going to be tough, of course. He's a good player. We'll see.
Yeah, that will be definitely a fun one. Prague Masters, another big event on the calendar, is starting tomorrow. You mentioned it at the beginning of the show. I had a float. I don't know too much about it. I don't know exactly who's going to play. I know Nepal won it last year, but let's focus on Prague, because Prague seems to be...
I also want to see the list of Prague Masters.
Seems to be developing into this quite elite tournament right now.
Yeah.
We have Keimer, we have the world champion Gukesh, we have, I believe, Nodirbek, I hope I'm not mistaken in that regard. Hans was just announced as well. And who else do we have?
Is Parham.
Parham.
Jorin, okay. Aravind, Yakubov, David Anton from Spain, and David Navarro, the local.
That's 10.
Yeah,
that's a strong event right there.
Yeah, it's very strong, and it has, like, from absolute elite players, you would say it has 3 to 4. I mean, Vincent, Gukesh, Nodirbek, and arguably Hans.
Hans also.
Yeah, by rating, he's top 20, you could say. But, okay, he's not as established as Gukesh, Nodirbek, or Vincent. And then Jordan is also very high rated at the moment. Like, he's around 27-30, I think.
Yeah.
He's gained a lot of rating recently. That's
he's been farming. Farming at 27-20.
He won a match against Idis Gurel, but then before that also he had a very good Viking Zay, so he gained a lot of rating. Like, he maybe gained 40 points in the last few months. And Parham, okay, also experienced at the top level. Aravind lost a lot of rating recently. He was super high rated last year.
Yeah.
Around like May, June, and he's lost and gone down to like the 2700 range, low 2700s from the 2750s range. And the other players also, Yakubov did well in the World Cup. David Anton is also mid 2600 player, and David Navarro as well is very experienced. He used to be like around 2750 many years ago, but now I would guess around 2650.
Give me your predictions for that one. Your tier list, let's say.
Well, the favorites to win, I mean, you just have to go by recent results. Nodirbek just has to be near the top. He's played so well recently and a lot of success in the last few tournaments. So Nodirbek, I would put high.
High, okay.
Very high. I mean, pretty much every event he's played in, he's had success. Like World Blitz, he did well.
Yeah.
Silver medal. He won two closed tournaments by Kenzei, of course. One of them, Tata Steel and London Classic. And then also, like in freestyle, he got to the... I mean, he made it to the match against Magnus. He lost, but then he beat...
The semis, yeah.
He beat Vincent and got third place. Also not bad.
He's a player that knows how to win. For sure.
I would give him a decent shot at it, and probably Vincent and Gukesh I would also give a solid shot, and maybe a bit under Nodirbek, but both solid shot. And then from other players who I think could likely win. I mean, Hans, but I haven't seen Hans, like, he's playing well, but has he been, like, winning enough games to win a tournament like this? That's a question, because I think the winning score will actually be, like, between +3 and +4. It'll be a decent winning score, and I don't know if Hans is likely to get a score like that, but I expect him to score plus.
He's going
to
be in the mix.
He'll definitely be among the players who can fight for first. And other players, I don't know if I would see anyone that, like, I think Yakubov can every once in a while have a great run, and he has won tournaments like this. He can actually, so,
like at the World Cup.
Yeah, like Parham, Jordan, Yakubov, maybe not significant chances, but decent chances. And I think Arvin, David Anton, and David Navarro have minimal chances, but they could always surprise us. And Arvin has won tournaments of this caliber, so he could.
Yeah, he won those when he had that huge meteoric uprise, right? Right now, he's kind of around 2,700, back from like 2,730. I think maybe he's even lower than that.
I think he's a player who needs confidence. And if he has confidence, he can be dangerous. And if he doesn't have confidence, and I don't know if he has confidence at the moment.
Yeah, I'll go with Keimer to win it, but Nordrybäck and Hans closely behind. And I think Gukesh is going to make the podium, but I don't see him winning. That's my prediction. Cool. What else do we have, Fabi? Do we have anything else to... Oh, I Gukesh, he did give an interesting interview. Maybe you can pull that on your... Sure. On your phone, and perhaps I can get your reaction.
Gukesh interview?
Yes, with Chessbase India. He was asked about, you know, cheating and allegations of that nature. We already discussed this at the beginning of the show with the proctor. That improved the situation online. And I do think he mentioned, or at least he was talking about over the board. I don't know exactly what he was talking about. Maybe we can...
This is a recent interview?
Yes. It's like yesterday.
Okay. Oh, well, I see. I would love to face Prague in the World Championship, this interview.
I think so.
This is a relatively...
It's a long one,
It's
though,
a 12-minute
right?
interview, so...
No. That's too long.
Yeah.
Let's go on Twitter.
Ah, this is a press conference.
Yes. He had the press conference.
Ah, I see. At the Prague Masters press conference.
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm. Let's go on Twitter and pull some clips and get your reaction on that. You have Twitter? Are you a big fan of X?
No, I'm not. I'm not a big fan of social media. I think it's. I mean, we have to use it in some ways.
We do have to use it.
Okay, but, you know, I just think that... okay, I see.
You found it, yeah?
I don't support the most...
No, let's watch it.
Kramnik's allegations.
Let's watch it. It's probably like a short one, right?
Obviously, I'm against any kind of unfair play or unethical ethical play. I have never done that, and I really hope nobody does that. And it's a kind of problem that we have been seeing lately. But about Kramnik exactly, I think he is just what he has been doing is obviously, I'm not supportive of that. But many people the last couple of years have been very paranoid about cheating. Also, I think it's a bigger problem people are making it a bigger problem than it actually is. Specifically about Kramnik's allegations, I don't support most of it, and I think there should be more harmony and peace in the chess world.
More harmony and peace in the chess world. Perhaps we've had some issues in the past, or perhaps we still have some cheating issues right now. What's in your mind? And perhaps let's move on to the over the board right now as well, and those type of allegations. What in your mind is that status, and what do you think of his statements?
Well, he's choosing his words very carefully. So he didn't say anything very controversial, obviously. Over the board cheating, yeah, it's not really talked about too often, right?
No.
Because usually the focus on the online, potential online cheating, which must be a bigger problem. I mean, it must be
100%.
Not in terms of the gravity, but in terms of the volume. It must 100%. Be a bigger problem because it's just easier.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the level of cheating is over the border online, but whatever it is, there must be more online because it's easier. So just logically, there has to be more. But the question is, like, how much is there over the board? Because this is more serious, and in the sense that it has more gravity.
Yeah.
There's more money in over the board chess. There's more at stake. The ratings are more important. We look at the FIDE ratings. You know, when there's a big over the board cheating scandal, then players get banned. They get kicked out of chess, and we see it rarely that a GM gets caught over cheating over the board. Once every few years, and then that person basically is banned from chess, and sometimes comes back or sometimes not at all. While online cheating is just swept under the rug. I mean, they find the person. They quietly make sure that nobody finds out basically who they are. For years, that's been the case. I don't think it's a good system, but maybe that's how they've tried to avoid potential legal action.
Mm-hmm.
That's also speculation on my part. I don't know why they would probably say that they did it because they don't want to damage careers. But honestly, if someone's cheating, then I mean, you kind of damage your own career that way.
There should be some repercussions.
So Does it happen over the board? I mean, probably in some measure, but I don't know. Because, like, I've personally never seen it happen in my own tournaments. I mean, I've heard of these stories, you know, Feller at the Olympiad and Shevchenko and so on, these kinds of things, and also non-GMs, right? We've all heard these stories, but I've never seen it in a tournament that I've played in.
Mm.
Firsthand, and I've never felt that a player was cheating against me over the board.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the thought creeps into your head, and then you think about it and you're like, okay, I mean, how would they possibly do it? And we're right out here in the open. I don't see it happening, right? Of course, you hear stories about some like opens in the US where players are going back and forth and there's very few security measures. Maybe you keep your phone under the table or something.
Yeah,
right?
I've heard of those and I've seen those quite often, actually.
Yeah, like I was a little bit surprised when I played the U.S. Masters.
It's so easy to cheat,
and
if you really want.
And the security there was at, there was security, I want to say, in the Charlotte Chess Club tournament. So they had some security, but still, a lot of like the kind of normal things are like, if you have a phone, just place it under your chair.
Yeah.
And to me, it's a bit shocking. I'm like, okay, if I'm playing a tournament, I'm not coming, like my phone is staying in the hotel room, I'm not coming within like, within 2 miles with my phone.
Of course.
So, and that's just how it's been for me for the last, you know, 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
So to see the other side of it is a bit shocking. So when you're talking about like open tournaments with hundreds or thousands sometimes of players, well, yeah, it's probably very hard to control these things. And I'm sure that sometimes things happen.
Hmm.
But and sometimes you hear stories, right? Like the most blatant things. Some US Open and someone just like literally has their phone like this.
Yeah.
And then
you get caught.
And then eventually someone's like, this
you
looks a bit
caught.
Suspicious. What are you doing under your jacket? But they
it's
usually
ridiculous.
They usually even last like sometimes they
a few rounds for
or
sure.
Or even sometimes a few tournaments.
Yeah.
There's like, and the thing is these US Opens, they have category prizes that are very significant.
Mm.
Sometimes like 10 grand category prize.
Yeah, yeah.
20, I mean the like World Open or something. So there's definitely incentive. You're a 1400 player. There's no way to make money in chess.
Mm.
There's only one way to win a category prize in the US Open. And the best way to win a category prize, the most assured way, is to cheat. That's kind of the nature of it.
What about at the top level? Do you feel there needs to be more peace and harmony between the players? Do you feel there's some tensions between the players?
Well,
in
clearly,
regards to cheating.
Clearly, we saw recently there was some tension
in regards to,
some players,
to cheating mostly. Yes.
I think there, well, certainly there has been, even sometimes publicly, right?
Yeah.
I mean, between like Kramnik and Topalov, like this was a very public case.
The big one, yeah.
There have definitely, I mean, I spoke about how when I went 7-0, that I eventually heard rumors that people thought I was cheating.
They were suspicious.
And definitely I've heard about other players as well over the board. Throughout, I mean, there are some cases of like match fixing that are definitely true at the top level. Match fixing has occurred. Cheating with like signaling or an engine definitely has been speculated upon. More recently, I don't think so. Not as much, at least.
You feel the trend is positive?
I mean, I just heard more stories before, but the thing is also, it depends on who you're talking to. If you talk to some people, then you probably get a different picture. But when I play a tournament, I rarely think about that someone could be cheating in a tournament. And it rarely crosses my mind.
Yeah.
Never crosses my mind.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point, and I think that's a fair take on everything that's been happening. Cool, Fabi, I think we're done for the day. Let's go get some breakfast. Congratulations to Team USA in hockey, winners of the Olympic both in men and in women.
I don't follow hockey.
I was thinking about doing a Canada's jersey, Caruana USA Canada's jersey. What do you think of that? What do you guys think about that? Maybe let us know in the comments. Are you on board with that?
That's not my top priority.
Okay, let's get some breakfast. Thanks, guys, for watching once again. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you in the next episode. Good luck in the St. Louis Masters and the American Cup. Cheers.
You know that goal you set at the start of the year? You can still do it. Whether you're committed to a thru hike with friends, lifting heavier, or simply walking more, it's not too late to stick with it and make your future self proud, especially with the all-in-one nutrition shake from Ka'Chava. Because quality nutrition shouldn't be complicated. Just 2 scoops of Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your backstock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, simplify your progress with just 2 scoops of the highest quality ingredients. Stick with your wellness goals. Go to Ka'Chava.com and use code NEWS for 15% off. That's Ka'Chava.com and use code NEWS. KACHAVA.com, code NEWS.